Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact in our area. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. Returning guest on today's show, Richie Janes is back in studio to talk CBD. I'm also going to talk with a lawyer that specializes in CBD to learn about all the interesting legal aspects of this topic. We start off with a group that hasn't been on the show in a really, really long time, Parkinson Voice Project. In studio with me, their founder and CEO, Samantha Ellendary. Thank you for coming back. It's great to see you again.
Thank you so much for having us. It has been a while.
It's been a long time. We were looking. Yeah. It's been probably over, it's probably been about 2 years, maybe longer.
So.
I love revisiting groups, especially groups like yours, because there's always something new going on. But in y'all's case, huge growth. And that's one of the things that I think that we are going to talk about. Before we get to that, talk to me about what Parkinson Voice Project is. What do you guys do?
Parkinson Voice Project is the only nonprofit organization in the whole world solely dedicated to helping those with Parkinson's preserve their speech and their swallowing. And 90% of people with Parkinson's are likely to develop speech difficulties sometime during the course of their illness. And then this one is the real biggie, aspiration pneumonia caused by swallowing disorders, difficulty swallowing, accounts for 70% of the mortality rate in this population.
So when people die from Parkinson's, that's what happens to them?
Yeah, they don't really die from Parkinson's, they die from complications, and 70% will be due to complications from swallowing disorders if they don't get treated. So I really want to stress that, because if patients get treated early enough, we can minimize the effect that Parkinson's will have on speech and swallowing.
One of the things that I do remember from our previous conversation that surprised me was that you're the only organization that focuses on this. Now I'm learning that there's still nobody else but you guys that do this. I see good and bad there. It's bad because you want to help as many people as you can with the struggles that they go through with Parkinson's, but it's also good for you guys because it has led to what I've heard to be massive growth.
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of different Parkinson's organizations. You know, you have the Michael J. Fox Foundation, who is working diligently to find a cure. I mean, there is no cure for Parkinson's now, so that's great. Let them work on that. Other organizations, yeah, they're doing research and they provide education on, you know, general education about Parkinson's, but nobody else is working on speech and swallowing. I wish there were more people, that more organizations, companies doing that, but we are replicating our program now. So now it's being implemented in universities and hospitals all over.
Why focus on this? What led you to be the founder of this organization?
Probably what started it was that I was born with a cleft palate and had a lot of speech therapy as a child. So personally, I understand how frustrating it is not to be able to speak clearly. Right now, I mean, this is not easy for me to do a radio interview. I really have to concentrate on making my speech clear enough. So when I first started working with people with Parkinson's, this was in 1997 when I was working at a hospital, and I found that they made great progress in therapy. I mean, if you go on the internet and you look at Parkinson's, you see progressive, degenerative, incurable, and it makes it look like this is a condition where people have no control. They're just going to get worse and worse. And that's not the case at all. People with Parkinson's respond very well to exercise and therapy. Somebody can come in and their voice can be so soft. I mean, it's maybe they're even not even making any sound. Their mouth is moving, but no sound is coming out. And in a matter, I mean, literally 3 or 4 therapy sessions, they can be heard. It may not be a perfect voice, but they went from not being able to be understood at all to now it's much better. They can be heard. Maybe they have to repeat once or twice. But people with Parkinson's can make such good progress. So it's fun to work with people with Parkinson's because the results are fast.
What was your background? Are you a speech pathologist?
I am a speech pathologist, and I was working in a hospital. And this was in 1997, 1998, when Medicare drastically cut the reimbursement rate for speech therapy. And it was just really sad. A lot of rehabilitation clinics went out of business. Mm. Hospitals were moving things around. At the hospital I was at, we actually had a whole department dedicated to speech pathology, and that got broken up, and therapists were split in different parts of the hospital. And I could just tell that people with Parkinson's were not going to get the care they need unless I just left. It was super scary to leave. I started treating patients out of my home. But now we have a dedicated clinic in Richardson, Texas, and we are training speech-language pathologists from all over the world in our Speak Out Loud crowd programs.
How long have you guys been around?
Well, it's been 20 years since I started working on this project.
Congratulations.
I started, in 1999. But the program, nonprofit Parkinson Voice Project, officially started December 13th, 2005.
Is it hard to believe where you are at now? You said you started with people coming to your home, and now this program is in places like Australia and New Zealand. It's literally on the other side of the world.
Yeah, I feel old. I recently celebrated my 50th birthday.
You look
and
amazing.
Our loud crowd gave me a surprise party. They were so sweet, but it did kind of make me. my children were small when I started.
Sure.
I was having to, show them, let them watch TV and try to keep them quiet while I was working with patients in the other room. And now they're all grown. But it is amazing 20 years what has happened. In some ways, it feels like it's been so long, but other ways, I think we've made really good progress. We've been very careful. We don't have any debt. Our organization doesn't have any debt.
That's amazing.
We've been very careful about hiring. We have a wonderful staff. I've never had to, lay anybody off because I couldn't afford it. So I think we've been careful. But the momentum is building, and we're making really good progress now. So now it's speeding up, which is really exciting.
I want to talk more about your growth, and we need to learn a little bit more about Parkinson's. But real quick, you said that you had to do a lot of speech therapy when you were younger. What were some of the hurdles that you had to overcome? I would never know that you had any kind of speech issues right now at all. What were some of the things that you had to overcome in your life, speech-wise?
It was pretty tough, actually. I mean, I think it's hard to describe what a communication disorder does to somebody and how it just makes you feel really small. I mean, when I first started working, when I was in graduate school, my professor said, if you don't get your speech clear, you're not going to be able to do this job. When I was first out of school working at a hospital, I remember working with this patient who had had a stroke. And then when I finished, his son said, you have something funny about your speech. And you just feel so bad. So I'm really happy. Oh, yeah. But that was not uncommon. In fact, it was interesting because I went to a conference of the American Speech Language Hearing Association, a convention, and they had a special session on, and it was people who had communication disorders and how they were describing them. And someone up on the stage also had a cleft palate. And he goes, people always said I sounded funny. And I started bawling. I mean, here's a room full of thousands of people, and I had to sneak out the back and started crying and called my husband, and I just couldn't help it because it is very raw. But I have to work a lot. I've got to use the same strategies, actually, that I'm using with our Parkinson patients to be confident, to project my voice forward, try to use a lot of intent, and it's helped me personally, and our whole treatment is based on that.
On the website, which is ParkinsonVoiceProject.org, I saw exactly that you were teaching people to speak intentionally, that speech is an intentional act. A lot of people don't view it as that. Your experiences with your struggles with speech, a direct influence on the types of therapies and programs that you developed for Parkinson Voice Project?
Definitely. But there's more to it when it comes to Parkinson's. So let's think about this. Speech is normally an automatic function. So for most people, they don't really think about taking a deep breath or where their tongue is going. You know, they don't say, oh, I'm about to say the L sound. Let me move the front of my tongue up. Or they don't say, I'm about to say a really long sentence, so let me take an extra deep breath. We do it automatically. But for people with Parkinson's, automatic motor movements require dopamine, okay? People with Parkinson's, by the time they have any symptoms, they've already lost about 80% of their dopamine. So anything that used to be automatic, things we do without conscious effort, including walking and riding, swinging our arms when we walk, and talking, those are all automatic movements. So for people with Parkinson's, because they don't have enough dopamine, and dopamine is required or necessary for automatic movements, everything they do has to be with intent. Humans have two motor systems. We have the automatic motor system and the intentional one. Everybody, Parkinson's or not, uses intent sometimes. So, for example, on the radio, we're going to speak with intent. When we go on a job interview, we're making a conscious effort to stand up straight, smile, make good eye contact. That's intent. But people with Parkinson's have to use intent all the time, but they can understand it because they've used it all their lives, but they don't have a choice. If they don't use intent, because the automatic system, their other motor system, doesn't work right, their muscles will get weaker and weaker, and they will lose the ability to speak and to swallow. They will fall more when they're walking. They've got to walk with intent. They've got to open the car door with intent. But the neat thing is they have a backup system that works. For other neurological disorders, it may not be that way.
When you say intent, is it the mental focus that is required or is it the physical?
So there's three things. When we do therapy, one, we are strengthening the muscles because they've gotten weak. Because the person's been using the automatic system, it's not working right. So we strengthen the muscles, we teach them, we establish a good home practice routine, and then we teach them how to be intentional. So it is about being confident, focusing, concentrating, being purposeful. We say it like you mean it. We have a great video that actually has nothing to do with speech. But I had somebody, a Loud Crowd member, walk down our hallway, and we recorded him. So the camera was on one end of the hallway, and the patient started on the other end. And I said, I just want you to walk down the hallway. When he walked down the hallway, his steps were slow and small. He wasn't swinging his arms. Then I told the patient, I said, okay, come back here. We're going to do it again. This time I want you to act like you own the place. And sure enough, he stood up straighter. He was more, you could tell he was more focused. I mean, he wasn't looking side to side. He was looking straight ahead. His arms were swinging. His steps were bigger, and he looked great. I mean, you wouldn't know this person had Parkinson's had you seen him walking on the street. Because he activated the intentional system. But so many people with Parkinson's don't know about it. They don't know it even exists. If you search Parkinson's on the internet, you won't see anything about intent.
Have you noticed when people start to come in, when they're first there, that maybe their speech and swallowing, that it degrades because they're embarrassed or that they are scared to try and talk or to do these things, and because they're not using it, it actually gets worse?
Definitely. There's this kind of cycle. So if the patient uses their automatic speech, which doesn't sound good, it'd be kind of raspy and the articulation wouldn't be good, and other people don't hear them, then they stop trying to talk. And it's this cycle, this vicious cycle, because now they're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Whereas when they say something with intent, this is funny. One of the first patients that I ever treated, I remember after day one, he came back day two and he said, I can't believe it. I was in the elevator and a woman just said hi. Oh, I said hi to the woman, and she actually said hi back. It was so exciting to him. So this starts the cycle, right? They say something, now they're understood. Oh, they try it again and again, and now they're talking more and they're getting stronger. They feel better about themselves. But then what happens is you've got this domino effect. Now they don't feel like, I have this disease that I can't control anything. Hey, if I can control this, now you know what? Now let me try to be more intentional not talking about the motor systems, but let me take care of myself better. Let me eat right. Let me keep my doctor's appointments. Take the time to figure out my medications. So it's you've got two things going on. Use the motor system, the intentional motor system that works, but at the same time, live with intent, right? That's on coffee mugs and journals everywhere. I have a journal that says write with purpose, right? So everybody can benefit from that.
Is that something that developed over time through the organization, or did you know that intent was going to be this cornerstone and that it wasn't only going to help with the therapy, it was going to help with the lives of the patients that you see?
When I started, no, I didn't know. In fact, it wasn't until 2010 when we started working with Daniel R. Boone, who is a world-renowned voice expert. He got involved with our program. He came to an event that we had, and then he joined our medical advisory board. And he has written books on voice disorders and just he's wonderful. He passed away last year, actually, when he was in town conducting a workshop for us. But Dr. Boone, in the 1950s, he recognized that intent would help people with Parkinson's. And the way that he figured it out, he was working with a neurologist, and they had a group of people with Parkinson's, and they said, we want you to count from 1 to 15. When the patients counted from 1 to 15, they could hardly be understood. Their voices were raspy, imprecise, no expression. Then Dr. Boone said, will you count backwards, please? And when the patients counted backwards, they went 15, 14, 13. All of a sudden, their speech was louder, clearer. It sounded better. And so he is the one who first recognized the benefits of intent. Now, something interesting is when he had the patients count backwards from 10, their speech wasn't any better because we're used to 10, 9, 8. Yeah, so they were still using their automatic motor system. He had to go to 15 or 20. So when he got involved with our program, I knew that people, if they used more effort, they could speak better. I knew that beforehand, but I didn't understand the difference between the two motor systems and why it worked. And that is, that's the contribution that Daniel R. Boone gave to our organization and to people with Parkinson's everywhere, because now we knew that if you put more effort, it works, but now we understand why you're actually activating a motor system that is not dependent on dopamine. And we've got to do that, and it works for everything.
Samantha Ellendary is the CEO and founder of Parkinson Voice Project. You can find them online at ParkinsonVoiceProject.org. We've been talking about a lot, but I think that we've kind of glossed over the basics. What is Parkinson's?
So Parkinson's is a neurodegenerative disorder, okay? Parkinson's is caused when the neurons that produce a chemical called dopamine die or become impaired.
Basal ganglia?
Yes. It's produced in the basal ganglia. Yes. Yes, that's where dopamine is produced. So Parkinson's occurs when the neurons that produce dopamine die or become impaired. And by the time someone has any symptoms, they've already lost about 80% of the dopamine-producing cells. We don't know what causes these cells to die off, and that's why there's not a cure. Researchers, they think it's a combination between the environment, like pesticides, and genetics. I heard a doctor say one time, choose your parents carefully. Okay.
Great advice.
So, right. We've had a number of patients who served in the military in Vietnam. They have now recognized, the government has now recognized that Agent Orange could be the cause of the Parkinson's in these patients. And so I would encourage, if you have veterans listening, if they were in Vietnam during this certain time, they should go and check that out.
Let's talk right now about the growth of this organization. As I mentioned, you were on the show probably over 2 years ago, and at the time, I remember it being a very local organization. Of course, you still are local, but the big news is that you guys have grown into a national organization and even a global organization. Where has this growth come from, and what are we looking at?
Well, there are two significant things that happened that caused the growth to happen. We did, we started looking at replication in 2011, okay? But the internet has made a huge difference. So it took us 4 years to develop an online training course that now speech-language pathologists from all over the world can learn how to conduct our Speak Out and Loud crowd program. So they can learn it online.
So it's like an online tutorial.
Yeah, it's a 10-hour course. But the neat thing is, the reason it took 4 years and $100,000 is that there's lots of videos in there. So this is not some boring PowerPoint. This is a video where you see our patients. You see them in individual treatment and group treatment. We go step by step how to do it, how to work with the patients. It is phenomenal.
What was it like to complete a four-year-long task?
Well, the whole project almost killed me. I mean, I was so happy when it was done.
What was the feeling when you were done? Was it relief? Were you almost angry? Were you like, I'm glad I'm done? Like,
No, I was just exhausted. But it was really exciting. And then at the same time, like, God, what's going to happen? Is this going to work? I mean, we think the course is great. Is it going to be? And the big thing is, are speech pathologists going to be able to take the course and actually learn it? Is the quality of the treatment going to be the same? And since then, I have visited numerous clinics where the therapists only receive training online, and their patients are making the progress that ours are. They're talking about intent. Patients are sending, I love it. We just got one today. We are getting testimonials from patients from all over the country, and I can tell they're getting the treatment right because they're talking about intent. They're saying how mean their therapists were. And that's part of it, is not feeling sorry for the patients.
Kind of have to push them.
Push them hard. Do not feel sorry for them. They can get that from someone else. They're there to get help. You know, in speech pathology in graduate school, we hardly learn about Parkinson's. And we had a doctor come speak at our clinic. We have a Parkinson's lecture series where we host these lectures by Parkinson's experts. And then we live stream the lectures and we record them and post them on our website. But this one doctor said doctors get about a one-hour lecture on Parkinson's. It's scary. So in the online course, a big part of it was that people with Parkinson's are capable of doing so much more, and if they follow the protocol, they will get better. And so it definitely is working. Now, one thing that I think is helping, we developed a workbook that goes along with our Speak Out program. Parkinson Voice Project has made a commitment to send an actual workbook to every Parkinson patient in the U.S. who is receiving our treatment. Actually, we will send it worldwide, but we can't afford the shipping cost. So a patient can get the workbook in a different country. They'd have to pay for the shipping cost. And right now it's only in English and Spanish, but we're about to translate it into 5 more languages and coming out with an e-library so that these patients in other countries will be able to get the book. But the book has 25 lessons in it. And, you know, we know that in hospitals and clinics, if we didn't give the patients their own book, then unfortunately what's going to happen is they might get Xerox copies of a few of the pages, but they're not going to get the whole book. It's important to us that people with Parkinson's get the whole treatment. So we are shipping out the books. Last year, we shipped out 3,800 books to patients who are receiving our treatment in other hospitals and universities.
It's a very exciting time for the organization. You are beaming right now.
Yep.
You're really excited. I mean, it's got to be wonderful to put all years and years of work into just one program. You've been doing this for 2 decades, but I mean, that much time into this program. And then I didn't even think about it. You said you were worried about it actually being effective, and then you see it's effective, and then now it's growing and growing. Is the growth happening the way that you expected, or is this surprising to you at this point?
Oh, no, it's great. Everything has happened, I think, the way it happened. I mean, things have happened over the past 20 years that were just supposed to happen. I was supposed to come in contact with Dr. Boone. You know, and that's such a weird story because I emailed him. I just looked him up on the website. You know, I knew he was a voice expert. Just looked him up. I found an email. I thought, I don't know, I'll try. I sent an email. And 3 days later, they said there's a Dan Boone on the phone.
Wow.
I mean, this is all, you know, divine intervention. I know that this is what I was supposed to do. I know it's supposed to happen. And the online course, I mean, that is amazing. But the other thing that happened was that 2 years in a row, we received $1 million matching grant gift. So these came from Loud Crowd members. So that shows you how important it is to them, how much, what a difference the program has made in their lives. But with these $1 million, so the Loud Crowd members challenged us to raise $1 million. 2 years in a row, two different Loud Crowd members. They said, and it's kind of funny, actually, they said, we were going to leave the money in our will, but we're so excited about what's happening, we want to see what happens. So with these gifts, what we did, we started the Speak Out and Loud Crowd Grant Program. Last year, we awarded 92 grants to speech therapy clinics that were replicating our program. This year, we awarded grants to 149 hospitals, universities, private practices that are implementing our program. The grants pay for training for the speech pathologist and all the therapy materials they need to implement the individual and group treatment. And just last year, because of the grants, we trained over 600 speech pathologists and 719 graduate speech pathology students, all for free because of these grants that we're awarding. I know.
It's fascinating. I had no idea that the organization had blown up this much. It's wonderful to see. I hate to say it, but we're already running up against the clock. Before we go, you guys have a big event happening on September 7th. Talk to me about what you guys have going on.
Yes, on Saturday, September 7th at 2 p.m. Central Time. I always have to say Central Time now because the program is everywhere.
Very good.
And the show, we are having a show called Sing Out. We will have 100 individuals with Parkinson's whose voices have been restored through our therapy program perform for our crowd locally. It'll be a crowd of about 1,000 people at Richardson High School. This is in the DFW area, but we're live streaming the show so that everyone can watch it around the world. And something that's really neat this year, we will be featuring photos and videos of Loud Crowd groups that have formed around the country, including I have a video from a Loud Crowd in Australia and Japan. So I'm super excited.
That's amazing. All right. Once again, Sing Out happening Saturday, September 7th at 2 p.m. at Richardson High School. Details on the website, ParkinsonVoiceProject.org. Samantha Ellenderry is the founder and CEO of the Parkinson Voice Project. It was great speaking to you. Congratulations on all the success. And please come back. It was great speaking with you.
Yeah, thank you for everything you do. We appreciate it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.